Welcome to the Catholic Cafe, where Catholic truth is served fresh daily. We've made you a reservation in the luxurious corner booth, so come on in and see what's on the menu today. Now, here's your host, Deacon Jeff Drzemski.
Greetings and welcome to the Catholic Cafe. I'm Deacon Jeff, sitting in the luxurious corner booth of the Catholic Cafe. And Venerable Tom Doran is here. And also Ziggy Rodriguez.
That's me.
Is here. And we are gathered together.
We are indeed.
In this beautiful place, the luxurious corner booth, to continue our summer of holy matrimony. And we've had lots of feedback. And thank you for sending feedback to Deacon Jeff at thecatholiccafe.com. I love hearing from you guys. Just a shout out to Vicky. Vicky, you are a wonderful prayer warrior for us, and you've sent us so many emails, and I know you love the show, and we love having you listen to the show.
Thank you, Vicky.
Hi, Vicky. Yes, and of course, and also just want to say hi to Jean also, who she's an author, and she actually sent me a little book, and we'll talk about that a little later, not on this show, but another show.
Ooh.
But we have lots of folks listening to the Summer of Holy Matrimony. Even if you are if you're already married, this is good for you to hear some of the basis or the Catholic understanding of marriage, and we're looking at all aspects, and we're kind of still kind of in the theological part of things. But also, if you're thinking about getting married, what you should be looking for and what you should be expecting, these are also things that we use in marriage preparation. This is these materials that we're talking about. So, and also, you know what we should mention, Sam, you're always hounding me about making sure I tell people that I'd be happy to come and visit your parish to talk about marriage preparation in your parish or to give talks at a conference or at your parish about marriage and the importance of marriage. Just reach out to me, Deacon Jeff at thecatholiccafe.com, and I would love to come and visit you. And all that said, let's dive into sort of continue along the theological lines of marriage, where marriage comes from, what the church teaches about marriage. And we'll talk about God's love now. God is the author of all love. All love comes from God, right? We see the hashtags that are out there with like love is love and things like that that have been popular in modern culture. But it's just not so that, you know, any kind of love is from God. How we define love can be difficult, but the church has always defined it, or rather God has always defined it a certain way. And we have evidence through the scriptures that just from time immemorial, God has revealed himself as a loving God. Deus caritas est, God is love. And how he loves us is beautiful. There are four aspects that we can see that are clearly demonstrated by God that throughout all of history, God has loved us in these four ways, or these four attributes or aspects of love are identifiable in God's love. So God's love is freely given, right? He doesn't ask for anything in return. He gives it because he wants to give it to us. It is freely given. He loves us totally, right? He loves us to the point of death on a cross, right? And then also he loves us faithfully. He says that he will always be there. Even if we're unfaithful to him, he will remain faithful because he cannot deny himself, St. Paul tells us. And that's an important aspect to understand, that he is always faithful. His love for us, it's covenantal. He's never going to break that covenant. And then, of course, his love for us is fruitful, and we see the fruit of the Holy Spirit and Trinitarian love, the fruit of creation, and God's love is bountiful and creates. It allows life to exist, and so we see those four aspects. So, knowing that, right, and understanding that, and remembering that we're made in the image and likeness of God, and we see that marriage is patterned after God's love. We had the whole section. You need to go, if you're just now hearing this, go back to the beginning of this series, the beginning of the summer, and you will see discussions about Trinitarian love and how we see marriage as part of a Trinitarian experience of love. And look at that and realize that all of our love and our marriage needs to model God's love, right? So if God's love is the model of all love, then that includes the one flesh love that we come together in marriage. So for marriage to be, we'll just say valid, for lack of a better word, for it to be a good thing, for it to be successful, for it to work, marriage must not be contracted or engaged if it doesn't include all four of those elements: free, total, faithful, and fruitful. So a marriage that is contracted without one of those, if any of those is dropped out, it's not a valid marriage. Mm-hmm. And if we're aware of on the front end of that marriage, like when the engaged couple, this is why marriage prep is so important. Because if you don't have those four aspects, if they are not present, right, the willingness to be freely joined together, the free choice of marrying, the total gift of oneself to the other, the promise for a faithful and forever love until death do you part, and for the idea of a being open to life, to fruitfulness in your love. If you don't have one of those, let alone two or three of them, then you can't get married. Mm. And that's hard news for some people. They think, but we love each other. It's like, well, is it true and genuine love? So what we want to do is we want to go and spend a little more time in each one of these four aspects to talk a little bit about what those things mean and how we judge those, how we view those, and how God has revealed those to us, especially when it comes to marriage and what the expectation for marriage is. So let's look at free, right? So because that's the first one we mentioned, and we're going to talk about the idea that if in the same way that God chose to love us of his own free will, right, he was not forced or coerced in any way. Then if our love for one another in marriage is a reflection of that, that means that we have to freely choose the person that we fall in love with.
Mm-hmm. Right. And also another step to that, God is love. He's also the sheer act of to be itself. So no one required God to choose love as being the highest truth in the universe, right? Like, God freely chose love. Like, that is basically the mantle of truth that God freely chose for
right,
himself.
It's the essence of who he is.
Is the essence of who he is. That came from a place of freedom, the very choice of love, and love must come from a place of freedom as well. And so, at some point, we might want to sit around and thinking about what's the greatest part of existence, et cetera, et cetera, and get philosophical. But at the end of the day, God's already told us that deepest grain of truth is love. And we need to trust him in that and grow in that, but it has to come from a place of freedom. It all begins from a place of freedom.
Yeah, exactly. And it's what he has revealed about himself. You mentioned the fact that, you mentioned the word truth.
Yeah.
And that's it. The essence of God is truth. And what is that truth? That truth is love freely given.
Yeah.
Right? And that is just who he is by definition and by revelation. Love truly freely given, and that's what's important, and that's why our marriage that we're getting ready to engage in, if it needs to be something that is freely given. So if God didn't marry Israel as we used in that, or he revealed in Isaiah in that prophetic book, he didn't like marry Israel because he felt sorry for them or because he felt obligated in some way. Well, I guess I made these people. I suppose I should love them. It's not that. He made them out of love and made them for love, made all of us out of love and for love and by love and through love. And so then love is that, I won't say the glue that holds us together so much as maybe the essence of life, of divine life that pours and flows through us, that sustains life. That's love. It's also viewed as grace, divine life, all of these things. And so if this is freely given, then when we're getting ready to get married, or we think we like somebody so much that it's like, I think I want to spend the rest of my life with this person, we need to examine, are we getting married because this love is freely given? In other words, there can be no coercion. There can be no imitation. There's no intimidation, right? No compulsion, no pressure, no force of any kind, right? There's a really unseemly term that we've all heard before, like it's called a shotgun wedding, and you know what the parameters for that are, right? Yep. Right? But the point of that is when you're in a situation where people are putting pressure on you to get married, that's not love freely given. That doesn't mean that two people who have had a child out of wedlock, right, can't fall in love and be in love freely and love each other and have a very happy, successful, and beautiful marriage. I'm not saying that. But what I am saying is if there's any kind of force or coercion or pressure involved, and that's the reason they get married, I can tell you when we get to the point where we're talking about divorce statistics, we're going to realize there's a very high divorce rate there because they are not freely choosing to get married, mm-hmm. right? So a couple that comes together and they choose to be together freely, right? Then that's definitely, that's a good start. That's one of the four. Right.
Hey, what about arranged marriages? I know that doesn't happen in our culture,
our
part of the world as much. No. So, but the rest of the world, is that even out there in the Catholic Church?
So I don't know that. I don't think that that's out there in the Catholic Church. What I would say is you're going to find that's a cultural thing in other countries.
Right.
In other cultures, mm-hmm. there is the reality of that. And I'm not going to say, I don't know as much about that. It's just not our reality, mm-hmm. especially in the United States of America. And I tend to be against it. I would say mm-hmm. I think that people need to find their love and fall in love. That doesn't mean it's not good that we have some meddling parents that say, the Smiths, that have you met the Smiths' daughter? Yeah. She's cute.
Have you met Sam?
Yeah, yeah.
Good catch.
Yeah, exactly right. We got Sam Rodriguez sitting right here, lady.
Yeah. Hey.
That's right. No. You just lost most of them. You just lost them. But the point is, don't start doing your Barry White voice because that's not.
Yeah. That was my Freddie the Boom Boom Washington.
Yeah, well, that's close.
Hi there.
Yes, exactly. So the thing is, I just, arranged marriages, I'm not saying that they don't end up in a good place all the time, mm-hmm. or that they can't end up in a good place. But I am going to say that. That's a form of, it can be a form of force and coercion.
Right. Yeah, yeah. I would say like with the arranged marriage, the bigger concern is one of the spouses only getting married to please their parents, and that's what's going on, because that would be that coercion aspect or a social coercion, if it's not familial coercion, as to whether or not they have like fallen in love and like gotten, had like the emotional aspects of it. The emotional aspects are important, but two people can freely choose to love one another, as a free act of the will. It normally is accompanied by emotions. It normally is accompanied yeah. by that. But the bigger concern would be more so, is somebody doing this to please other people,
right, or to bring nations together, like nobility, when kings and yeah, whatever, they would offer yeah. their daughter, they want to have a truce with Spain or whatever, and it's like, well, you're going to have a Spanish wife, son.
Yeah.
The prince has to marry the Spanish princess or whatever,
or Fredonia.
Yeah, whatever. Yes, yes. You've been watching too many movies. Now I will also say that even in some of the modern cultures I've seen where there is arranged marriage, there is still like people are sending like resumes over to be considered. And I think that I've seen a couple of movies where the parents are of they're arranging a marriage for their child, and they're living in hopes that that child will pick the one that they want, where this resume looks good, this person looks good, and there is a desire that they want them to fall in love, mm-hmm. right? So there's a lot of cultural aspects there, Tom, but my advice, stay curious. Away from it.
Yeah, I agree.
And we have enough meddling parents as it is now,
yeah.
But really, we don't want to get in the way of this act of free will, mm-hmm. And the way in which God might present our potential bride or groom to us, and then this free choice to marry, to love another. Now, I will also say this aspect of free has another way to look at it. Not only do you want to freely choose someone, but essentially you have to be able to be free to choose. And what that means is the church is very concerned. And if you get married in the Catholic Church, one of the first things you do is you fill out what most dioceses call a prenuptial investigation. Now, that sounds like the FBI has been called in, you know, and they investigate. But there is an investigation on the front end of a couple, of a Catholic couple or a couple getting married in the Catholic Church, to find out a bunch of, like, first of all, names and addresses and phone numbers and information and dates and all those kind of things. But then also to find out, are each of these spouses, are they free to get married, right? Are they freely able to make these choices? Are they currently bound by, like, it just so happens that this the woman you fell in love with has vowed herself to a religious community? Well, that's a problem, right? She is not free to marry, right? She is basically... you know, and the same thing with a young man who's given himself to the priesthood. He is not. There's a canonical process that must take place, and a lot of things have to be untangled for that to take place. And hopefully we pray that there's enough discernment on the front end that we don't have this problem or this realization that this really wasn't for me. And those examples are few and far between. But it does speak to the point that you have to be able to be free, like literally. Available, I'll say it that way. And there are no impediments, and some of those impediments might be, you know, there's the church has a whole list of them, and this is not an exclusive list. There are more, but like you have to be able to entirely give consent, right? You have to be able to be freely open for all of this, but there are things that that can hinder or even mitigate. And like essentially disallow your ability to make a choice. For instance, you might have a medical or psychological incapacitation, right? You might have an addiction, right? This can be pornography, alcohol, drugs, right? You might have some severe level of immaturity, right? Where you don't understand anything about life. And again, the immaturity can be like might be age things going on there. So when you're, you know, I think when I was 12 and fell in love with this older girl who was like 16, I think there was a problem there for me. Mm-hmm. It was puppy love, and that's great, but it was never going to end up in marriage, and immaturity there would have been an impediment, mm-hmm. right, to understanding fully what love is. But then also there's like criminal behavior. There are deception and lying, not telling the truth about things, not being open to life. Right, not wanting children, for instance, or lying about that, infidelity, having another relationship at the same time, and then also there's a grave fear or consanguinity, which is the
I've been waiting for you to pronounce that word
consanguinity.
Yeah,
yeah. Well, I don't like to say it, but it's basically
I wouldn't either.
It's a blood relationship that's too close.
Right.
Right. So you
first
know,
cousin.
Yeah. Well, and then in some states...
Even closer.
Yeah. So, but the point is there, the church... These are all things that the church would say, okay, this is...
Bad idea.
This is a bad idea. And in fact, it's not the church's determination so much as God's revelation that this is not a marriage that we can witness.
Right.
You can't get married because of these things. These are impediments to God's grace in marriage. Mm-hmm. Right now, some of these can be overcome through therapies and through doctor visits and through time and working through it. Yeah, some of these can be overcome. But at the moment when you are going to contract that marriage, when you're going to get married in the Catholic Church, none of these things can be in place.
We might have some people here in the audience who are parents who wish that their children would get married, that they're old enough, why haven't they gotten married? You might want to look at the list and see whether or not your child has some things to work through, because sometimes people in this world rush into marriage and it doesn't work out. You know, and a lot of times they'll rush into marriage
outside.
They end up rushing out, exactly. Yeah. And so, you know, immaturity, you hear that on the list. you know, sometimes people can be emotionally and stunted because of like traumas, but then sometimes there can be things like coddling that happens that have negative patterns in our lives. And so, you know, if you're seeing things, if anything on this list jumps out, or if your child has addictions that need to be taken care of, if you're the greatest desire of your heart is for them to flourish in marriage, then if you're a parent, you may want to look and say, hey, is there something that's jumping out at me that maybe I can step in and I can do a better job of loving my child in some way to be of support to them, to help them prepare for that.
Okay, so we've said all these negative things. I do want to reiterate here, this is not supposed to be a list of things to scare people out of marriage.
Yeah.
It's like, I don't know, I think I have grave fear, you know? And it's like, well, no, just hold on. These are all extremes, and I want people to understand that at the end of the day, that the church is concerned about these things because the church wants the best for the people of God, right? We want that to be a beautiful, long, and happy marriage.
And it's not that all mental illness issues necessarily mean, oh, this person can't get married.
Correct.
But you shouldn't hide it. You need to be upfront about your history when talking to the priest and going through the investigation.
That's exactly right. Going through the investigation sounds really ominous. Thanks, Sam.
Oh, sorry. Going through. What is the proper
preparation.
Word?
Marriage preparation.
Marriage preparation.
But you're right. It is the prenuptial investigation. Yeah. He's right. I just, you know, I was just putting all the bad stuff on you know. But anyway, at the end of the day, you know, God's love is free. He loves us unconditionally, no strings attached, and that's exactly how your love needs to be in that, on that free, that free basis. Now, the other thing I'd say about free is there's no marriage that's free. I don't know if you looked at the price of wedding cakes and dresses, but it's expensive.
Yeah.
So, but that's not the free we're talking about. So, the other thing, we have a few minutes left. I do want to talk about the second aspect, and that is the aspect of total love. The example I gave about God, his total love for us was that he died. He was willing to die on the cross, not just be wounded, not just be spat upon, not just be brutalized, and people say really bad things to him. And those are all bad things, right? But he gave the last full measure of devotion. He died for us. He was willing to die on the cross. Well, in the same way, we have to give ourselves to the other in marriage, 100%. We hold nothing back, right? We hold absolutely nothing back. In fact, I would go ahead and say 110%. We are it's a total self-gift of one to the other. And anything less than that, it's not going to be a love that the church can recognize as total love that is suitable for marriage. There has to be 100% total self-gift of one to the other. So that's like all the things that we've talked about, finances and the fact that you shouldn't have prenuptial agreements. You know, it's like, well, I'm going to hold on to my money. It was my money before. Well, now you're not totally freely giving yourself
right. And
every aspect of yourself.
You can't hide money either.
That's right. That's right. That's exactly right. And, you know, so and anything less than a free and total gift. And this total gift, it includes like in our sexuality, giving ourselves totally to the other. No other partners, no other sexual, you know, we'll just say dalliances, you know, outside of the marital embrace, nothing,
right?
And in the marital embrace also, contraception. This is part of the idea that like contraception is saying, I love you with every ounce of my being, but not this one little part of me, this life-giving part of me, I'm holding that back, right? I'm keeping that from you. Well, that's not a total self-gift. That's, you know, we'll talk about that when we come to, you know, this idea of having a fruitful marriage or being open to life. But the thing is, total self-gift means every aspect, physical, mental, psychological, and certainly spiritual, you know, our hearts just given to the other. This idea of this free and total gift of self in love is really, I mean, it all kind of starts here.
You got me hungry for total cereal.
Yes, I know. This is a different kind of total. You know, you need to have your morning bran. But so often marriages are, people are joined together missing this idea of free, and they may not even realize it. That's why this you know, what you called an investigation.
I thought you called it an investigation.
That's why we need to look. That's why we need to look at. That's why marriage prep is so important. We need to discuss these things ahead of time. It's amazing the number of times that we have a canonical impediments and problems people don't realize. They get married, and then there's a divorce, and it's messy, and no one wants to get a divorce. They're expensive, they're ugly, and they're problematic because there's sometimes children involved, and families now are part of the battle. It's just, it's not good, it's not healthy, and a lot of it can be avoided if we look at the front end and realize that we weren't free to marry, mm-hmm. right? There were problems and issues, and discovering when someone goes through an annulment process from a previous relationship, they find out, like, wow, I didn't realize this, but I really was not free to marry. Because, this person was either disingenuous or lied about wanting to have children or about not loving anyone else and it's like all of a sudden you start to realize, wow, I didn't even realize that was the case. And then also this idea of total. We have got to get beyond this selfish world that we're living in and realize that we've got to be totally vulnerable, open, and selfless. With the other, and just, it's not about me, it's about us, right? That one flesh relationship. And because to be one flesh, you've got to give up you being the most important part of that relationship. That's no longer true, right? You're being transformed by the love of God in your love for each other. And so when we model that Trinitarian love, that total self-gift, that total love for Father, for Son, Son, for Father, that it spirates in eternity, the Holy Spirit, when we model that free and total gift of love is what's the glue that's going to start this thing just in the right way. Mm-hmm. So let's just ask the Blessed Mother to be with us as we are contemplating all of these aspects of marriage. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now at the hour of our death. Amen.
Thanks for listening to The Catholic Cafe. If you'd like to contact Deacon Jeff, send him an email at deaconjeff@thecatholiccafe.com. Visit us on the web at thecatholiccafe.com. You can also find us on iTunes or follow us on Facebook and Twitter. The Catholic Cafe is brought to you by the Order of Malta Federal Association. Join us again at the Catholic Cafe, serving up salvation one cup of coffee at a time.